It's good to be together this morning. Good to worship God together. Good to see some unfamiliar faces and get to see some familiar faces as well. And I'm just looking forward to diving into the scriptures this morning. You know, we've been in a series, we've called it Go and Do Likewise. And, you know, 52 weeks of the year, we're trying to figure out how to plan these different types of messages that maybe hit different things, right? Go and do likewise. You know, some of our messages might lean more into be still and know. But sometimes we have to just kind of go and do as well, right? So we got to kind of figure out how to balance both of those. And I know for me, I tend to go and do better after I've been still and known God. My go and do is a lot more vibrant, but some of us are a little bit different. And so hopefully these series of messages hopefully has just encouraged you, spurred you on, maybe given you some direction so that we can serve. And one of the things that we've really wanted to do is not just have a bunch of sermons on Sunday, but to encourage our smaller groups to go out in the community and do something, right? That's like Jesus. And it was so cool to see what we've already done. I cannot wait to see. We saw the before picture of the soccer net and all that. I can't wait to see the after picture, you know, of what some of you that are gifted in doing that type of stuff. If they asked me to do that, it would still look like that after I was trying to work on it. I'm just not good at that kind of stuff. But I'm glad that those of you that are willing to give your time and to help them out. You know, our family group, you know, I served as a chaplain over at Kennistone Hospital. And one of the things that can happen is sometimes patients might come in and due to their injuries, their clothes might just get totally destroyed. I mean, they got to cut the clothes, get into the deal with them, help them save their life. Or sometimes they just don't have means. They don't have money or whatever. And sometimes the clothes are just not sanitary, whatever. So they just can't leave with the clothes they came in with. And so what the hospital has is they have a pantry as well that they just rely on donations that people to give so that people aren't discharged in a bad way. And I've seen people when we didn't have their size, I've seen them discharged from the hospital in one of those cloth gown things. You know what I mean? And I mean, what can you do? I mean, that's just the way the world is. That's life. This is what. So, our family group is trying to, you know, replenish the Kennistone Hospital food. You know, I mean, the clothes pantry. You know, to help people out. Because Matthew 25, like we read a few weeks ago, Jesus said, you know, when you see somebody naked and you clothe them, you're not just doing it for that person. You're doing it to me. That's the spirit of what we're trying to do. Again, that's just our family group. It's not like the greatest idea ever. It just happens to be ours. But I know there's going to be a lot of other great things, and hopefully we'll hear about what you all have done in your groups to go and do likewise. So hopefully the spirit of these messages is making its way into the community. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, I'm inspired to be here this morning and just to hear about how you have motivated brothers and sisters to give of their time, give of their hearts, give of their finances, whatever it takes to help other people. Father, I just pray that we can continue to grow to be more and more the type of people that desire to do those types of things. And I'm so grateful to hear from Jan Johnson just to that spirit that, wow, we don't just want to obey checklist type stuff, but we want to become the type of people that just bring you honor and glory. So help us this morning, God. I know for me, I've been kind of, it's been a lot going on this weekend and family in town, and you know, I'm feeling sometimes a little scattered right now. I'm grateful for Brother Kevin pulling me aside and giving me some just good spiritual encouragement. Grateful for the folks praying. And I just pray that whatever is shared, Father, that I can just get out of the way and you say what you need to say. And I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I was trying to get things going, and I don't know why God keeps doing this to me, but it's kind of nerve-wracking, and I'm kind of not happy with God. It's like I have a plan of what I'm trying to study. I study it for 3 days. I read the passage in multiple translations, and nothing seems to jump to the forefront, and I feel like I wasted 3 days of preparation on this passage in the book of the Bible, and I can't seem to find what the Spirit wants me to say, and then he keeps bringing me back to this other passage. And I'm like, doggone it, but see, that ain't right, God. That ain't right. Because I don't have all the time in the world. And so I kept coming back to a phrase in a passage that Kendall was sharing about last week, and this phrase kept coming back to me. Because I started realizing, you know what? There's stuff in our hearts sometimes that keep us from going and being like Jesus. It's just stuff in our heart. And sometimes we're just going and going and going, and we don't even notice what's really going on in our hearts. And, you know, I had one of those kind of moments, right? I'm trying to go to the store, pick up something from the pharmacy, and, going into the store, and there's a man out there, and he's holding a sign, you know. I didn't read the sign because I couldn't see what the sign said, but I saw him. You know, I had that feeling like, oh man, I ain't got no cash, I ain't got no money. And so I drive in and, you know, go in, go to the pharmacy. You know, I'm living my life. I'm doing my due. I'm living. I get back in the car, and then I see the dude again. I said, oh man, I could just go back in, you know, I can go buy like some gum or something and just, you know, get cash back and give him some. And then I'm driving, I'm like, but I don't want to. At the end of the day, I just didn't want to. And not only that, he was holding his sign at this entrance, and there's another exit, and I was like, I'm gonna go this way, because I just didn't want to see. Right? So I'm the preacher preaching about going and doing likewise, and I ain't even do it. So what's going on in my heart? Right? So that's why I'm trying to read this other passage. That's talking about something else. And I kept coming back to this other path. I think Jesus was like, bro, you need to read this again. That's why I was mad with God for a few minutes. Because he was showing me that my heart wasn't right. And so, we're going to look at this passage again in Luke 10. And we're going to look at another passage where another guy has something in his heart. And we're going to look at what's going on in the heart today. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly. Just go ahead, do this and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, so, and who is my neighbor? And I was like, oh, why did he want to justify himself? What was in his heart that made him ask that question? He was doing so good. The conversation could have ended after Jesus said, do this and you got the right answer, bro. You're good. You know your Bible. Good disciple. Wow, you're on it. But he wanted to justify himself, and I was like, man, you know what? I think there's something in me that's similar, and I think some of us might struggle with this. We might not realize it, but we do sometimes make the Christian walk about ourselves. Right? Because the concept is pretty simple. God created all of this. God created you and me. The incredible craziness of even what happened in our mother's wombs to physically give us life is amazing. And then to allow us to make our choices, and some of us make an absolute ridiculous mess of our lives, and God gives us a chance at another life, just loves us, willing to die for us, just pouring love into us, and all he asks us to do, okay, well then, love God back. Amen. And love him with all your heart, all of your mind, your strength, just give him all you got. And hey, then, love all your, love all your neighbors too. That's the spirit of it. It's about God. And it's about other people. It's about God and other people. But what does he do? It's all about him. Yeah. He brings it back to himself. And I was like, ooh, I think that's something we need to deal with in our hearts. It's not about you and it's not about me and it wasn't about him. But he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it that he brought it all back to himself. You know, Jan Johnson actually has a quote that I thought was appropriate from this book that she has. We focus on our efforts, so that we essentially trust in ourselves. We become, in effect, stars of our own spirituality, concentrating on our own performance. But in fact, Jesus must be the star of our spirituality, the focus of our attention, and the one who does the heavy lifting. But this guy wanted to justify himself. He wanted to be the star of his Christian performance. And really in his heart, it wasn't like, you know what, God? I know you love me with all that you got, and I know you want me to give all that I got to his. He doesn't have the heart. Well, how can I give to more people? How can I increase my love? Can you increase the number of people I can love? That's not his heart. His heart is, can you really define the people so that I can just love those people that I really have to? I mean, I don't want to have to love people I don't need to love. That seemed like that might have been in his heart. Why don't you just make Christianity doable for me? And then I can feel awesome that I'm a good disciple. That's what happens when we make it about ourselves. We actually pollute the Christian message. And maybe this guy, you know, he's saying to Jesus, man, maybe, oh, wow, I got the first question, right? Man, maybe I can really get Jesus to agree with me that there's just some people that just really don't need to be my neighbor, that I don't need to love. Sometimes that kind of stuff can get in our hearts. Yeah. And so I decided, you know, let's relook at this parable that Jesus told. Because Jesus had to tell this guy a story because he couldn't see what was in his own heart. So Jesus said, you know, a man was going down from Buckhead to Marietta when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A preacher from the North River Church happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man pass by on the other side, so too a deacon from North River, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But an illegal alien, and yes, I'm using that term, it's offensive to a lot of people. I want it to offend. I want it to be with baggage. But an illegal alien, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, put some Neosporin, hydrogen peroxide, and bandages on his wounds. Then he put the man in his pickup truck and brought him to a nearby motel and took care of him. And the next day, he took out $200 from the ATM and gave it to the manager at the motel. Man, let him stay until he can walk out on his own. And you know what? When I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man? Was it the preacher from North River? Was it the deacon? Or was it the illegal alien? Who was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hand of robbers? And the expert in their law replied, the one who had mercy on him. We go and do likewise. Rather than worrying if someone else is a neighbor, Jesus' call is to be a neighbor to those who have need. Jesus makes the call no longer one of assessing other people, but of being a certain kind of person in one's activity. The guy wanted to justify himself so he could figure out who he could scan everybody and choose who's a neighbor, who's not. He's focusing on his. Jesus said, nah, man, you're doing it the wrong way. You got the wrong perspective. You're looking through your perspective, bruh. You need to change that up. You need to see it from God's perspective. All people are worthy of help. And I appreciate, I want to be this type of person, not just in my knowledge, but in what I do, in my activity, how I treat other people. I want it to show up, not just listening to sermons, but actually putting it into practice. Not just trying to minimize stuff so I can master Christianity, but I want to increase my heart, increase my capacity to love other people. But here's the deal, I can't do it on my own. I can't become this certain kind of person just on my own. I can't do it. And if I have a mindset that I can, I'm already losing. It's not about you or me, it's about what can God do through us. How many times do we need to hear that a message? I think every Sunday, somehow, some way. It's God working through us. And I shared this with us in the first message we had, and I'm sharing it again because we all sheep and repetition helps us. The fruit of the Spirit is what we need. We need God's Spirit in us to bear His fruit. That's how we change the world around us. It's not about justifying ourselves and making ourselves feel better. It's about glorifying God. We're too busy thinking about ourselves. We need to glorify God. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that can do it. When the Spirit is really within us and we are actually communicating with God's Spirit within us and we are slowing down enough to hear what God's Spirit might be wanting us to do and to think, and we crowd out the noise, then His fruit is born within us. And we can be loving and joyful, peaceful, patient people, kind people, good people. These are the things that happen. These are the qualities that happen when we allow God's Spirit to be powerful in us and through us. And we talked about kindness. You see, I said, hey, let's not focus on every single one. Let's just focus on a couple. Be useful for God. Be kind to people. Have a disposition within you that is kind and caring and not harsh and judgmental. Which one is my neighbor? Which one is not? No, that is not the heart of God. But left to ourselves, that's how we do it. But the Spirit doesn't do it. We need to have that goodness, that benevolence and generosity that stands up for stuff, right? That you're not just about knowing what is good, but it is doing what is good. Intentional and courageous. That's the type of people hopefully we all want to become, but we can't become just white knuckling and hoping for the best. Or going through life without seeing what's going on in our hearts. We need to be the type of people that just wake up every morning and, God, I know my heart is jacked up, please. Please help me to live through your Spirit's power. So I'm going to help you out. I'm going to help you be like Jesus. I'm going to help you be a neighbor. I'm going to help you start right now. Start today. Why you got to wait? Do you realize that some people show up to church on Sunday and they type in the Google church near me? You realize that, right? And sometimes North River pop up. Boop. And you know, people have the courage to show up to this building and not know nobody. You know how much courage that takes? And they will come to this church and they will sit in one of these chairs right here. And you know that there have been people that have had nobody talk to them. How is that possible? With people that know the word, we can answer, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Book, chapter, and verse, but sometimes we don't even put it into practice. There are people here, that should never happen. Hey, if you're visiting, I hope you get so many people, hey, how you doing? Hi, my name is, hey, where are you from? That you're just like, man, that church, there's people crazy up in there. They just, I would much rather that be your experience than you, like at the movies, it's over the credit rolls and you just go to the car. That's what we do at the movies, man. That's not what this is supposed to be about. Right? Hey, I know sometimes you need to talk to that fellow brother or sister because we family. It's weird to not talk to your family. But man, what if all of us had that understanding? Somebody here is struggling. Somebody has been beaten and robbed and left on the side of the road emotionally and spiritually. The world beating them up. And they just trying to find a place that maybe somebody at least show them some love. And they thought they'd come to a place where people put Jesus Christ on the marquee up there. Surely they could find some love up in here. But if we don't even have the heart to just say, you know what? I'm going to be a neighbor right now. And I hope we can take that to heart. Be a neighbor today. Don't go straight to your car after church. F- Find somebody. Introduce yourself to unfamiliar faces. All right. And right now, I'm gonna help you out. I'm gonna help all y'all out. Okay. I hereby offer, absolving all sin of forgetting names. All right? If you forget somebody's name, you have now been forgiven ahead of time. And I also absolve you of the guilt that you feel because you met the same person 4 months ago and forgot. That's forgiven too. It has been forgiven. I forgive it right here. I name it right now. Or you meet the person and say, well, I've been a member for 2 years. My bad. All right? So all of those scenarios could happen when you walk up to that unfamiliar person. And in fact, sometimes those are obstacles. You say, I don't think I know. Maybe I'm supposed to know, and then you don't go over. So I'm just saying, let's get rid of all that there. Because guess what? That's putting it all back on you. Your comfort. What makes you uncomfortable or comfortable. God's like all people, all things, all your heart. And then you're talking about, well, but I feel this, and I don't want, No. Be friendly to people. Be hospitable. Hey, if your heart is open, your home will follow. But here's the deal. It doesn't even have to be your home. Starbucks open up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and stay up until like 9, 10 o'clock. They can host it if you want to just be nice to somebody. Get to know them. Hey, let's meet up. I would love to hear your story. I would love to know how you found this place. Something. Let's be friendly. Be hospitable. Be a neighbor to other people. Let's do it now. Why we gotta wait? Let's not be a church that knows the scriptures, but people don't see it in our lives. Stop making it about you and justifying yourself. Make it about glorifying God. Right? That's why we're here. So I hope we can see that in that expert's heart, he had a little something he had to work through to not make it about himself. There's another guy in the scriptures, we got a little time left, I want to look at, because there's something I think that he's got in his heart more about, I think, what his lifestyle did to him and what it did to his heart that maybe he didn't realize, but I think we should look at as well. It's in Luke's gospel as well. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. I know how some of y'all think. Oh, this passage don't relate to me. I ain't rich. I'm out. This relates to the mother folks. Well, let me help you out. All of us in the history of recorded history, our civilization that we live in right now is one of the richest of all time. Okay? And I want to even help you out. In the scriptures, you look at passages like 1 Timothy 6. It talks about godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take none out of it. Say amen to that, right? Amen. But if we have what?
Food.
And what?
Clothing.
Food and clothing. We will be content with that. You see, hold up. I'm calling God a liar, because here's the deal. If all you had was your clothes that you got, and you knew that you were gonna have food, would you really, be honest with yourself, would you really be content with your life? I don't think we would. I mean, come on. Food and clothes, what about a car? What about a house? I mean, I got a Chevy that got 200,000 miles on it. I don't feel like a rich man, but hey, most of the world ain't got a car. I got a place to live. I got a cell phone, right? I got education I've received, right? Some of us got nice retirements. We take vacations. These are luxuries that we actually consider baseline stuff. That if you took one of those things away, you would not be content. So hold up. That's what I'm saying. Be careful. You think the rich man isn't you? It is us. We live in luxury every day compared to most of the world. So don't give yourself an out. on this passage. Let's see ourselves as the rich man. What was going on in his heart when this man was laid at his gate? He probably too weak to get himself there. It seemed like somebody else got to lay him at the gate. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Jesus is a master storyteller. There's so much going on, we don't have time to get into everything. But I think you can see the reversals that are happening. You see, everything is a reversal. And there's so much irony in this passage. So let me get this straight. So the rich guy, when he was living, I'm sure everybody thought he was favored by God, because that's why he was rich. And that poor guy, well, he must have done something wrong to be in that situation. So he's probably not going to make it. Uh-oh. But in the end, whew, reversal. Wow. So we don't have God figured out. And what is the rich man asking for exactly? He said, "Abraham, have what? Have what? On who? On him?" Well, hold up. He's asking for the same thing Lazarus would have liked. Why didn't he give that pity to Lazarus? And you know what else that bothers me about this? "Have pity on me and send" who? Lazarus. He knew his name. He knew his name. They had no time for him, though. Didn't show him no pity. Knew his name. No compassion. Oh, but now. But now he gets it. Oh, now he sees the perspective. Oh, I need pity now. Please hook me up with some pity. And then you wonder, and I can't prove it, and I don't know if it's true or not. But Is he still kind of bougie in his mindset? You know what I'm saying? Is he, "Abraham, send Lazarus"? You know what I'm saying? Like, I need somebody to serve me. Is that in there? I don't know. I can't prove it. But there's a part of me that I wonder, is there something still in this dude where he sees Lazarus as kind of like a subordinate that can be sent to ease his situation? And I think what's going on with the rich man's heart? Well, I think he's starting to realize he got some things wrong, but maybe he doesn't. But Abraham says, "Son, remember in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But you know what? Now he's comforted here and you're in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." And he answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family. I have five brothers. Please let him warn them so they won't also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "Look, man, they got Moses. They got the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham. Look, if somebody from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophet, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." And the reason why I wanted to share this passage is where I think that we got to realize sometimes wealth messes us up and luxury messes us up. Because there will come a time when you have no more time to make changes that matter. So there will come a time when the time is over to make the changes. And again, you don't make the changes. You got to surrender to God and let the Spirit make the changes in you. It's not about you. It's about you yielding and surrendering so God can do what he can do through you to change this world. But But we got to be careful that the luxury that we have and the wealth that we have doesn't mess us up and make our hearts to where we just don't really show love, concern, or any pity on people. So I think that's what I really wanted to hit on. Like, you know, be careful that wealth and the sense of superiority that often goes with it, be careful, because that can be detrimental to our discipleship to Jesus. Be careful, guys. Wealth demands your attention, right? So you focus more on accumulation than spiritual transformation. Be careful. If you focus so much on luxury, wealth, and all that it gives you. Wealth and comfort can create a buffer between you and others, which makes disengaging easy. You become numb to the suffering of others. And you can know names, you can just walk right past people and enjoy your luxury. And I'm going to close with something I read in a book that I think is another thing that's messing with some of our hearts. This is the last thing I'm gonna throw out there for you. I think this is messing with some of our hearts. It's a book I read, it's called Overcoming Apathy. Lurking under the surface of much of our apathy is a loss of a sense of meaning, purpose, and mission. We become foggy about what really matters and what we're really about. And being bombarded by the trivial, listen to that, bombarded by the trivial, also feeds into the meaninglessness of things. Oz Guinness once said, as modern people, we have too much to live with and so little to live for. All our gadgets and all our stuff. We have time and money, but no meaning. We need to recapture our reason for being, a sense of our place and purpose in this world, as this gives meaning to all our actions. Guys, I think we're bombarded by the trivial too much, and I don't think we realize how that messes us up. When you get bombarded with information of all kinds, sometimes just totally trivial stuff that doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, and you're just constantly always bombarded with it, you spend a lot of time in it, it's going to catch up to you. And I think the way it catches up to us is we can just be numb to just stuff that really matters. Our intake of meaningless junk is affecting our hearts, and it's keeping us from going and doing like Jesus. And we don't realize it. You cannot spend the majority of your day outside of just any concept of God's presence and think that you're going to become more like him. You simply cannot always grab for your phone to text, to look at reels, to do whatever, play the game, and then put it down, and then try to be productive, and then pick it up 3 seconds later, and then the culmination of your day is to get in front of a TV to watch sketch content, and you know, that's trivial and meaningless, and you stay up too late, and then you wake up, and you give this much time, you know, to God, and then you think that you're going to become the type of people he wants us to become. And we don't stop and say, what is this doing to our hearts? What type of people are we becoming when we let the trivial take over? I read a quote, we spend close to zero time alone with our own thoughts and free from input from other minds. Think about that. We know that Jesus got time away to just be with, not just read his Bible and pray, to experience the presence of God. Yeah. Just to be in God's presence. Some of us think that is so foreign or a waste of time. And that scares me. Why you gotta be with God just to get something from him? Even if it's to feel good about yourself so you can have a good day. You're still kind of getting something from God. What about the novel concept that the presence of God, just yielding and surrendering in his presence, he can do more for you than you can even ask or imagine? But some of us don't even know how to do that. Like, I'm saying the words to you and you think that is so weird. I just need to read my Bible so I know what to do. Tell me what to do and I'm going to go do it. Okay, but at some point you're going to hit the wall and think that Christianity is too hard and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, we got to figure this out, guys. the apathy, the like listlessness, the I don't have a mission or I don't know what to do, or you're in a church, you know what, go be like Jesus. Oh, well, I've been trying to, I try, I read my Bible, I share my faith, okay. Well, maybe there's other things that you're missing. And that's why we invited Jan Johnson to come up. But some of y'all are probably so apathetic, you'd probably rather binge some show than really come and show up and learn practices that can help us actually be the type of people that want to go out and do likewise. We offer this stuff up to you. I mean, Jesus said, man, you know, I do a dance, ain't nobody, you know, dancing. I sing a sad song, ain't nobody ready to cry. What is it? What we got to do to help equip? We got to overcome the apathy, man. I'm telling you, it's killing us. Luxuries, killing us. Trivial stuff is killing us. We let in stuff that don't matter. It's killing us. It's taking an effect. Don't let it. Don't let it. Stay in God's presence. Refuse to go through a day without being in God's presence. And being humble and asking God to do what he needs to do in this world through you. And I'm telling you, over time, increment by increment, we can bring glory to God and not make it about ourselves. Let's pray. Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. I just pray you help us, God. Help us to not just get consumed with trivial things in this world. Help us to really abide in you so much that we become just vessels of your overflowing love through to help this world, God. We, even through this moment of taking the communion together, we take the bread that represents Jesus' body, the blood that is seen in this juice that we drink in. We take it in, Lord, and I just pray that we can see that these moments can mystically transform us and help us to not make trivial things priority. There's nothing more important than Jesus and being that body and being willing to sacrifice to his glory. Help us, Lord, as we take the Lord's Supper today, and help motivate us to go and do likewise in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.